leadership is hard. Mm-hmm. I share that with someone. Mm-hmm. And that someone is Jesus. And through his spirit in me, mm-hmm. I have wisdom beyond my years. I have discernment beyond my experience. I have hope and peace when things are really going badly.
Yeah.
Because I have a helper that lives in me.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Here Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 20.
Well, welcome to See Here Love, and I have been looking forward to this conversation with this panel on why good leaders matter. And I'm so grateful to be with these incredible women who are friends and panelists to talk about good leaders, good leadership, authentic leadership, and how our faith inspires and informs our leadership and the people that we serve. So welcome, Shayla, Stacy, and Anne to the show.
Thank you.
Woo! And I love the colors. We're all ready and bright and ready for this good conversation. But before we get into it, I want to gush about the three of you. So over here, Shayla Visser. Shayla has a heart for people coming to know Jesus and is passionate about helping the local church flourish. She's a gifted communicator who is known for her strategic leadership as well as her ability to bring people together, which is... Girl, you and I love the bringing of people together. You love next generation leaders. You love your big Anglo-Indian family and achieving new goals, which we're all like, yep, we love the new goals. And Shayla is the National Director of Alpha Canada and the Global Senior Vice President for Alpha International. She lives in Vancouver, British Columbia with her husband, Ryan, a Vancouver police officer, and their four-legged family members, Talon and Benny. Welcome.
It is so good to be with you, Melinda. I'm so happy to be also with Anne and Stacy. Just great friends, great leaders on the same panel together. You've done a great job pulling us.
Thank you. And this is, remember, only like 30 minutes, not like 5 hours, but that's our next conversation. And beside you, the woman in pink, Stacy Campbell, who's the CEO and Executive Director of Prison Fellowship Canada. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yes, and I love this organization because it prepares and mobilizes the Canadian Christian community in response to the issue of crime and the restoration of offenders. You've been involved in leadership of the organization since 2009, and you have this unique ability that's brought Prison Fellowship Canada's vision, growth, and stewardship into a regionalized and national community of more than 2,700 volunteers and 18 staff. You've worked 16 years of work and volunteer experience in both the federal and provincial corrections in Canada, which includes pastoral counseling, mentoring, and facilitating restorative circles with offenders and surrogate victims, demonstrating that, Stacy, you believe in an accountable and restorative response to crime. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. You're a proud mom of Anna Kate and John Campbell, and I know that you love hiking. What else do you love? Yeah.
I love hiking. I love cooking.
Yeah.
And I love leadership and particularly structure building within leadership.
Incredible. Welcome. Mm-hmm. Welcome. I know you're going to add so much to this conversation.
Yeah.
And finally, Anne Miranda, leadership advocate, leadership trainer, pastor, and Bible teacher. Anne is very familiar to the See Here Love audience because you've been with us in our Bible series. And you are a leader of leaders with a background in education. You speak and train teams around the world as you inspire people to rise up and lead in their own spheres of influence, whether in boardrooms or classrooms or ministry settings or churches. You have a contagious passion for Jesus that helps equip people to find their own passion. And for fun, you love baking.
Oh, yeah.
Traveling with your husband, Carlos.
Yes.
Yeah, we hear the baking. Yeah. Hanging out with your kids, Nathaniel and Hannah. Uh-huh. And documenting your Lebanese mother's hilarious perspective on life for Instagram.
Yes.
And I watch, it's so good.
It's so fun.
She's awesome. All right, so we've set it up so that our viewers and listeners know that you've got some good leadership experience between the three of us and the four of us. So let's start. You know, what does good leadership mean, look like to you? When I say good leadership, good leaders matter, what does that do to you? What do you think about good leadership?
Well, I'll just kick off and say that I think good leaders love the people they lead.
Mm.
I think when I started at Alpha Canada as the national leader, I really felt very strongly that if I couldn't love the people I lead, then it wasn't going to work. Mm-hmm. And so that was a foundational principle for me.
Mm-hmm. So love the people that you lead. Yeah.
For me, I come back to that scripture in Psalm 78, and it says that David led with integrity of heart and skillful hands. And that's been a real guide for me to work on your character, no matter what's going on. Work on your character, work on your character, and hone your skill and lead with skillful hands.
Good. I thought about this a lot, too, because I love studying. You might not know this about me, but like army stuff, like how the army.
Yeah, I'm surprised you actually just said that.
And like the military and like the Marines. Yeah. Like, how do these people even choose that career? And there's always like these two strands. And I think this is what makes a good leader is their character. Mm-hmm. That's like the number one thing. And the other part is how they build team. So it's exactly what the both of you are communicating. And those two things, the leader of leaders of whether it's the Army, the Navy, the Marine, whatever that looks like, that group, is willing to lay their life down for the rest of their team.
Yeah.
And so they have to have humility, and they have to, they're looking at those characters of like, can you actually be selfless as a leader and lead yourself first?
That's good. Mm-hmm.
But you know, when I first got into leadership, that wasn't the case.
Right.
Yes.
It was about how do I get ahead?
Yes.
How do I climb
some sort
of
corporate ladder? Well, that's what the definition of leadership was.
Yeah.
Was it? That's what I remember is that you are the head. You are, it's almost like strong arming.
Yes.
What I say will go. That's what I remember.
So it's really interesting on responses to your question because that wasn't the way it always has been.
That's right.
I also think women lead a bit differently than men. Mm-hmm. Not all. That's, you know, a generalization, but there's a difference there. Mm-hmm. And so I love the fact that we're saying this because I think the world needs a different type of leader right now. Mm-hmm. And all three of you are examples of what we need.
Yeah. Thanks, Shayla. And I think, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, and when we first came in, it was about getting followers. You were a leader, and you were collecting your followers.
Yeah.
But that's not how it is. Now, a leader, you're building leaders. That's your job.
Wow,
that's
good.
Exactly
good, Stacey.
That is so good.
Yeah. So here's the thing I have, because you're saying, love your people, lay down your life, be integral. And yet when I look around, you know, around the world, I don't see or get that leaders are doing that. So why are they not doing this? Because I'm thinking if all leaders led because they love their people, they serve, they lay down their life, they have skilled hands, wouldn't the world be a different place? Wouldn't it be different? So I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying it's like, why, if you have the responsibility of leadership, why are you not leading in that way? Why do you think people don't?
It would be, but I don't think that investment is going on. I don't think there is enough investment.
In what, the next generation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about power?
I mean, we're working on that, but even our generation, I know lots of leaders who don't have somebody who's building into them.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's power and control, though.
I think we're doing a better job, though, for the next generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is it power and control? Like, why are people, a lot of people leading not?
I think it's identity.
Okay.
I think it's identity. It's like, who are you really?
Yeah.
And I think my journey in leadership has been going from a person who wants to prove themselves and, you know, maybe get followers and feel like, oh, I'm a leader. Someone's following me. That's not actually true. But the reality was I had to come to my own wholeness, that whether I'm good at my job or bad at my job, I'm still whole. Whether I get a promotion or I don't get a promotion, I'm still whole. Right. Whether people think I do a good job public speaking or not, I'm still whole.
Right.
And going on that journey of a deeper identity in Jesus has actually made me a more other-centric leader.
Right.
And that's not to say that there aren't many good leaders that don't have a Christian faith, but I think there has to be something about who you are that leads to better leadership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
I think you nailed it when you were saying about achievement, too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of us that are wired to achieve the goal or the checklist or whatever, that you accomplish something and then you want the next thing and the next thing, and you're just like, building, there's a natural, but maybe it's a piece of being a leader is being a builder as well. Mm-hmm. But when that becomes your identity, that's where things could crumble. And then we can bulldoze over people rather than build people and build team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about our leadership, because, you know, you said when we started off is about followers and about power and control and do what I say. So in your journey as leaders, what has Maybe it's been what have been the wins and what have been the, oh my goodness, I did not do that well as a leader. Because I think we're going to be able to all relate. He wants to go and share the stories. You got one, Stacey?
I've got many.
Okay.
I think some of the things that that I learned were, first of all, I would say, don't be more than you are.
Oh.
Come from that place. That was a big, for sure, that was a big lesson for me.
So what does that, like, meaning what? In a failure or a challenge, was it because you didn't?
The pressure. I think the pressure to be a leader and to be, all things to all people.
Yeah,
And to be a people pleaser all the time. And then to kind of settle into, okay, it's just me and the Holy Spirit here. Who am I? Mm-hmm. Where is he leading me? And lead from that place. Yeah. And that was really a lesson for me that settled me in leadership.
Well, we were joking in the green room, like, you know, if you're going to be a leader, you know, if you're a people pleaser, watch out. If you want to be adored and the most popular, not going to happen. And it's lonely, you know, times in leadership, because who do you trust? You know, who's got your back? Who's your ally? And so I think, and as a woman too, in my own experience, that's been some of those things I've had to really push through. And when you're trying to please everybody, you won't be an effective leader, because then you will never make decisive, strategic, you know, good vision decisions.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And right?
So I think it's again back to, as you've just said, Stacey, like, lead from who you are. Mm-hmm. But I also think, like, one of the mistakes I've made is putting too much weight on impact and numbers and caring about moving to the next place, because when I'm very driven to activate. I'm a visionary, a futurist. I want to see impact. And what I've realized is that by driving the team, by driving the organization for impact, sometimes you hurt people. Mm-hmm. And I realized that is just a bad way to go, because it doesn't honor God.
Yeah.
But also the reality is, and because I've been in leadership for over 20 years now, I know that even though we give impact numbers, and I think that's important, it's good stewardship, mm-hmm. I think that the most important is leading a fruitful leadership life. Mm-hmm. And fruitful means being attached to God, doing what he's asked you to do, being clear on that so your teams know. Mm-hmm. So I think some of my mistakes have come where I've just done a lot of good impact busy work, and not really thought through and taken the time to think about fruitful work.
That's good.
And we know the Bible tells us that fruitful work lasts forever.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of busy work that won't last very long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that comes from, too, like, the busier you are and the more that you produce, you're more valuable.
Right.
You know, if you're in that space of, like, the more that I do, then God must see me as more valuable and useful. And that can come from, like, church origin or family of origin, where it's like the more you do and productive, you know, the more valuable you are. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's part of that too ingrained. But
my mistake was go for it. Like the achievement and all the things, the striving, all those pieces at the expense of my self-care.
We're going, we're heading that way. I'm heading that way.
But this lesson hasn't really been learned yet. I feel like I'm learning it.
Well, here we are.
I feel like I'm in it now to learn, like, okay, how do you actually take care of self? Because then I'm going to be a better leader. I'm going to be able to last longer. And everyone around me is watching. And they see it, but may not say it, you know, but they see it. So then my standard actually is what I'm not saying to everyone. Mm-hmm. It's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm being really vulnerable with this conversation.
Because
I feel like I was
with you
until it hit like crisis. Then I was like, oh, hold on. What am I doing? Why am I feeling guilty about going for a 30-minute walk? Like, what is happening in my brain? I'm bringing you guys into, like, my crazy psyche. Just going, like, why did I feel like I couldn't go out with a friend because that wasn't a good investment of time? It's, like, silly. It's so silly. Or go, like, I don't know, on a date with my husband because I have this work thing to do. It just wasn't, there's aspects of taking care of self that I just didn't do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because the lie of work-life balance Everybody, as soon as I said that, you all were like,
yeah,
because yeah. You know, it was always like, you know, you have to have the balance and you got to make it even and you got to do like, talk to me about that, like work-life balance possible, a lie, and yeah, do we do it well, not do it well, and how do we live in the tension of both.
I had a sweet friend use that word balance, and he said, just don't stop thinking about this balance yeah. thing, because you're always going to feel like you're falling short. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I want you to think about rhythms and practices. Mm-hmm. What are you actually doing? Like, stop waiting for the next vacation. The issue is that you actually don't have these rhythms and practices in place mm-hmm. in your daily. Mm-hmm. And you need to get these in place. I was yeah. taking care of my relationship with God. I was doing these kinds of things that felt like almost like a checklist. But he was like, there's other pieces that you got to self-reflect. And I think mm-hmm. that's a good quality of a leader yeah. to be able mm-hmm. to look internally and go, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me, I know that it was about learning to look at my whole life rather than living out of all these compartments and trying to run one to the other. Mm-hmm. And we implemented that at Prison Fellowship as well. You've got this whole life to live. You've got young kids. They've got pageants that you need to see and musical recitals. Don't miss the recitals. Don't miss the play days. Do that. And maybe you're not going to live out of a 9-to-5 workspace. Look yeah. at your whole life. Do I need to get my hair done? And I can only get a slot on Tuesday on Friday at 2. Then go get your hair done on Friday at 2, because you've got to get that done.
It feels like we live in like this guilt feeling for doing the things that are good for us.
Yes, yeah.
Is that right?
Like, yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt that, but yeah. I feel like what we're saying, it's like we feel guilty for doing good things or soul care things. Yeah. Why is that? Yeah.
Well, I want to come back to the question, but I also want to say to that, now, I grew up in an immigrant family. I think three of us did, right? And there is a pressure, right? We came to this country for a reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd like to see you do well. And even though they would never have said it that way, I feel an imposed pressure. And so the little voice in my head is always telling me, are you doing enough?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that couples with Christian guilt. So it's like this bad marriage. But the way that I understand balance, which mm-hmm. I don't like that word at all either, mm-hmm. is it's energy management. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it, is how do I manage the energy I have? And the reason I approach it from an energy perspective is because all of us have different levels of energy. Yes. Mm-hmm. We refuel differently. Like, some people need to go hide to refuel and they need to be alone. Mm-hmm. I'm like, please don't put me alone. It will kill me. So,
I'm
never going to go on a silent retreat. That's just not going to be
and
me.
And I've tried that, and wow, that wasn't good for one day. I almost didn't.
You and I, we cannot do it. But the way that I see energy management is all of us have like this tank of energy. Yeah. And we have to know what ours is. It's a bit self-knowledge, right? And then what lowers it and what raises it. Mm. And I've become quite adept now of knowing when is my energy running too low? Is it running high? What's going to fill that tank again? Because I find at Alpha, a lot of the staff will be like, Shayla, you are getting so much done, or you have this mm-hmm. nonstop, like you have energy. And I was born with a bigger energy tank, just with lots of people. Yeah. It's in my DNA.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything to get that. I just was born with it. And when you compare then to what other people, mm-hmm. you know, really can do, it's not a good place to be in the leaders to compare, like, well, look at your energy level and mine. No, we're just born differently. Manage that. And that ability to, you know, circumvent all the boxes we'd like to keep it all in works a lot more.
That makes a lot of sense, because I have I have a lot of output and energy to do things.
Yeah.
And I have to be careful, because sometimes when I see people that don't match it, I can be like, oh, they're not working as hard, or it's less than. But I think that's really important.
Well, I go home.
Really,
so I'll go home after being on a long work trip, and instead of crashing on the couch with Netflix, I'm actually doing things at home, because I decompress by doing.
Yes.
And
like
there are a ton of people, including my husband, who think that's crazy.
That's my husband, that's too. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources. resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description, or sign up through our website at seeherelove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Here Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seeherelove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Here Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seeherelove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Here Lovely and join our See Here Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
Let's talk, and I think this is really good, and we could sit on this, but I want to talk to you about the burden slash gift of leadership. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's, you know, in all honesty, it as a leader, it's like this great gift to steward and serve your people. Right. But there's also this burden of responsibility that you are serving and leading people. Mm-hmm. How do you feel in that as you hold that also intention? Gift and then burden. And maybe burden's not the word. What I mean is sometimes you go home and you're like, whoa, mm-hmm. these people are looking at me to lead, to give strategic vision, to, and there's that, and there's also that, wow, God has entrusted me to steward and lead this organization forward. Mm-hmm. So how have you felt that in your experience?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's an incredible privilege. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I sit back and I go, I cannot believe out of this whole country I get to lead this organization.
Yes. Like, woo! It's, yeah. And that's to be celebrated, Stacey. Right. Honestly, yeah. Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
Grateful.
Yes.
So grateful. But it does come with burdens. And for me, the biggest burdens, the loneliness of leadership, mm-hmm. You know, the pioneer fatigue, being out at the mm-hmm. front, you can't share with someone. The demand that, or and maybe it's a self-imposed demand, but to always have to be strong. And the loneliness of sometimes you have to make tough decisions, mm-hmm. and you have to keep your eyes on the focus and your mission and what you're doing. And sometimes it makes people unhappy. And then, of course, criticism, isn't that fun?
Oh, the criticism. Yeah.
So those are those are some of the burdens.
Yeah,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think early on in my leadership journey, I felt burdened more than I do now.
Okay.
I felt deep burden, like, oh my goodness, like I have to fundraise so people get a paycheck. Yes. I have, you know, all yeah. the different things yeah. that I had to do in leadership mm-hmm. to continue the mission forward. But now I don't feel the burden as much. The more leadership opportunities I have, the bigger the stewardship of the leadership that I have, mm-hmm. the less I feel the burden. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because I know less today than I knew when I started. Mm-hmm. And I also know I could do less than other people think.
Okay.
And I also know that the source is God. I'm
yeah.
responsible yeah. for pointing as I lead. And that has relieved the burden immensely.
Wow. That's good.
That's really good.
Yeah, it feels like you know less as you lead, as you get older mm-hmm. too. The older I get, I'm like, I don't know anything. Because when you're 20s, you're like, I know everything, mom and dad. You're wrong. And now I'm here and I'm like, oh man, I don't know.
I just think we should have notebooks. That's what I was going to say. Just like, wow, it's just like incredible learning yeah. around the table here with each other.
Yeah. Faith inform your leadership, we talked about that. But for those who are like, how does your faith, like how do you know, they're curious about Jesus, but they don't know him. How does your faith in Jesus as you follow him inform your leadership? What would you say?
Huge. I think even a response, kind of blending the two questions mm-hmm. together, there's this time in my life where I just had to embrace the call and an anointing and a call to say, like, I have to step into this. It's, I call it the holy haunting. It's like this like haunting day and night and day and night. And the Lord just going, you need to step into this. You need to step into this. And then when I did take this like faith step and just go, okay, this is what you're called me to do. You can equip me. You'll bring people around me. It has to be less about me and more about what you're asking me to. The assignment in the Army language. I felt like a freedom.
Okay.
And like just shedding the burden off, you know?
That was
special.
It's good. Faith informing your leadership.
So at Prison Fellowship, what we teach is based on the life and teachings of Jesus. And so it's just so integrated into where we're leading others to go. And so, yeah.
I just want to say to any listener, Melinda, that is saying, well, maybe spirituality isn't important, or maybe it's important, but Jesus isn't in that picture. Yeah. I want to tell them that leadership is hard. Mm-hmm. Leadership is, it can be a very deep burden. I share that with someone. Mm-hmm. And that someone is Jesus, and through his spirit in me, I have wisdom beyond my years. I have discernment beyond my experience. I have hope and peace when things are really going badly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I have a helper that lives in me.
Yeah.
And so I want to say to other leaders, if you don't know that you have a helper that comes to live in you, and it's a gift from Jesus by following him, that I want to suggest that maybe it's worth your time to look into that.
Yeah.
Because leadership is lonely, but we are never alone when we have Jesus.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, for sure.
So advice for a young leader, and I know we've kind of hit on that, but if here's a young leader going, I'm listening to you, women, and I'm like, I don't know now. I don't know now if I want to lead. No, but if you're like, okay, you know, we're thinking next generation, and they're like, I want to step into the call, the holy haunting. I want to step into this, even though I know there's tensions and the burden and the joy. What would you say to that? I'm going to say young girl who's like, I want to be a CEO one day. And so I'm going to work my way to that. Mm-hmm. What would be, whether from your greatest lesson that you've been taught and also advice to them as we end up the show? What would you say?
Don't be afraid to fail. You got to take a risk, and failure is inevitable. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And how we fail and how we look at and reflect through it matters.
Right. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to fail, because how many times have we failed?
Countless.
Lots. Countless times.
Countless.
And it's okay, I think,
ongoing.
It's ongoing, and it will continue. We are not perfect, and we will fail.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good, Ann.
But, of course, the nugget in that is the learning always comes
after
the failure, so that's good. I would say deal with your insecurities. Deal with yourself. Get yourself cleaned up and whole.
Yeah.
Because that's going to haunt you all the way. If you go in insecure, you're going to be insecure when the success comes. You're going to be insecure when the failures come. Deal with your insecurity.
And I would say on that, like the greatest working out for me was confidence.
Yeah.
Because I had everything against me. I was a brown, young girl. Coming into Canada 13 with leadership and communication skills, coming into churches and space where people are like, and wow, the greatest thing was the confidence and you know, with people supporting and understanding God's spirit in me to say, you know what, you are beloved and worthy, but it's still an ongoing process for me.
Yeah.
Confidence in knowing who I am.
Yeah. Well, I think for any young woman who's like, I think I want to lead. I think I've seen some leadership gifts, whether you've done student council at your school, you've been a captain of a team, something like that. Mm. I just want to say that there is a whole host of women and men leaders in Canada that want to see you succeed.
Yes.
And I think it's a different time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the two of us slightly older. We know that we grew up in a time where there weren't a lot of people championing women leaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's different. So I want young leaders to know we are for them.
Yeah.
We want to help lift them up. We want to celebrate them. And I think just form your circle of friends around you who are a few years ahead in professional life. And learn from them. Talk, be open, be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Because there are a whole host of us cheering them on, wanting them to succeed.
Yes.
We need great leaders.
Exactly.
The issue in our world is not money or power.
Yeah.
The issue is great leaders of great character.
Yeah.
So we're cheering you on. Keep going, right? Keep going. Yeah. We want to see you succeed.
Right. And thank you, because I love this. So don't be afraid to fail. I mean, confidence and work on yourself.
Yeah.
This is working on yourself. Yeah. Soul care, good spiritual rhythms, all of that. Mm-hmm. And then know that you're we're cheering you on.
Yeah.
And not just us on, you know, on the couch and on the set, but like a whole multitude of people are cheering you on. You're not alone.
Yeah.
And I think reach out for mentoring. I would love to, you know, open myself up to, you know, mentoring. Oh, wait, I just said that nationally, didn't I? All of a sudden, oops, careful. But what I mean is, and so thank you. We could have this conversation for a long time. And so I appreciate just the tip of the iceberg on your experiences and leadership. So Shayla, Stacey, and Anne, thank you so much. And so proud of you, cheering you on as you lead. So thank you.
Thanks, Melinda. Always good to be with quality women leaders in Canada making a difference here and around the world.
Yeah, and I think we need more of this as we do this, right? Just again, because as young people know that, you know, we're cheering them on, it's the same as us, as peers, the same thing to know this. And so this encourages me, and maybe I just did this show for me to be encouraged by some incredible leaders. So thank you, thank you. Well, thank you to you for joining us here around the set, around the couch, and listening about leadership. Go to seeherlove.com for all the information about us, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, to listen to our podcast, to download our free Bible study guides, and to watch our past shows, and to join our community. And don't forget to also follow us on Instagram for behind-the-scenes clips and inspiration, and to see where See Here Love is across Canada and what we're up to. And as you lead, and as you choose to lead, always know this, that you are seen, that you are heard, and that you are deeply loved by God, and that we are cheering you on all the way in your leadership. God bless you, and thanks so much for joining us today. Bye-bye. Woo, it was great, you guys. Amazing.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See Here Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See Here Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.